This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast that takes a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're recapping a successful Bates Carnival for the skiing teams. Some first years impressed in their collegiate debuts, and some more experienced skiers scored crucial points for the Bobcats. Plus, Max Corey and the men's swimming team turned in some big performances Sunday against Middlebury, and track and field competed in their first meet of the new year. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Nordic and Alpine skiing teams combined to finish in sixth place out of 14 schools at the Bates Carnival, hosted by the Bobcats at Black Mountain of Maine and Sunday River last Friday and Saturday. It's the best combined finish for the ski teams at the Bates Carnival since 2013. On the Nordic side, the first-year class really stood out, starting on Friday when rookie Sage Grossi made it all the way to the semifinals of the freestyle sprint, good for a seventh-place finish overall. Fellow first-year Greta Hendrickson was the only Bobcat to make it into the top 30 both days, taking 27th on Friday and 20th on Saturday in a 9.1K race. For their impressive collegiate debuts, Sage Grossi and Greta Hendrickson are our Bobcats of the week. Sage, let's start with you because, I mean, you came out firing all cylinders the first day with the sprint, got into the semifinals of that event, ended up with a seventh place showing. Take us through kind of each race, just over a kilometer, very fast, but take us through how it went from your perspective.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for having us. We started off with the qualifier in the morning, yeah, which is always super stressful. It's first ever collegiate race. Not my first time at Black Mountain. I'd raced there before as a high schooler, junior year. And actually, I'd had a really good result there. So I had a little bit of confidence going in. It was really, really good. I went out, and you never know how you're doing in these races. But I got to the finish, and you can see the person in front of you. We start in 15-second intervals.
Okay.
So you can see the person in front of you. I thought I was about 15 seconds off the person in front of me and was fairly confident that I had a good qualifier. But then I was walking out of the finish corral, and one of my friends walks up to me and says that I was 2 seconds off of Johnny Hagenbuch, who has had World Cup starts. And I was super, super excited right then. But yeah, so the qualifier went really well, but the qualifier is always just the first step.
Yeah.
The sprint days are really complex, and it's a lot of pressure because after the qualifier, you go on to heats, which is 6 people per heat. 30 people qualify overall, so there's 5 heats of 6 people. And in your heat, it's a mass start, 6 lanes, you all go out together, and the first 2 people across the line move on. So my quarterfinal went really, really well. I went out in front and then ended up coming in second, so I moved on to the semifinal. And the semifinal, I was like, it's really incredible being a first year out there because I looked across the line at my start and there's 6 other guys in there and they all looked like giants to me. I was like, I'm just a first year here. And all these people had really, really big accomplishments. But I was able to come out third, I think it was. I was just like a third of a second off making it to the final. And that was just incredible for me. It didn't really feel real. Coming into the season, you always have all these goals. I wanted to get like a top 20.
Yeah.
And then my first race out there, I ended up getting 7th place. And that was really, really big.
Awesome. Greta, how about from your perspective, your first collegiate race, did really well in the qualifier. You got to a quarterfinal for the Bobcats, a top 30 performance. What was it like from your perspective? I mean, because Sage mentioned he had competed Black Mountain before. I bet you probably hadn't because you're from the Midwest, right?
Yeah. That was a huge thing that was so new for me. I went into the race, just wanting to get experience from it because I was racing against a whole new field of people because a lot of people, out east tend to stay out east, so it was just people I had never raced against. So I went out in my qualifier. I know how to skate sprint. I was just going to go out, do what I can do best, and that usually is what I'm pretty good at is skate skiing. So I went out and I ended up passing the girl that started 15 seconds ahead of me in the qualifier. So I kind of knew who she was. So I kind of knew I was in a good position after I finished. I didn't know exactly what place I had gotten, But I then checked the results and saw that I got 14th, which I was extremely happy with. I did not expect that at all. And then I went on to my quarterfinal, and the start didn't go exactly how I wanted it to. Mm. It wasn't how I had done sprint heats from, like, what I was used to. Usually they say set.
Oh.
And then they, like, shoot off a blank of a gun or, like, a really loud beep. But this time they just said to the line, and then they hit the beep, and so I just wasn't quite ready. So I wish if I could change one thing, I'd be more prepared. But that's okay. That's what first races are for. But overall, I'm just still super happy with the heats, like, experience racing against such great skiers. It's just something that skiing in the East has to offer, like, racing against people who are on the World Cup circuit. It's just a really cool experience.
Yeah, and then to follow up on that, you got another top 30 showing the very next day.
Yeah.
Shorter than it was supposed to be, but longer than obviously a sprint. So take us through that race and your perspective there.
Yeah, so I have, it was originally supposed to be a 15K,
right.
And I had done one 15K in my life, and it was a classic race. Mm. So it was different. And before the season, I had done a few races at home, and one of those races was a 10K skate, and I had a really good result then, so I knew I had confidence knowing that is also what I'm really good at doing. So I just went out there and I was like, I've done it before, I can do it again. And this race was a 7-lap race, so that was a lot of thinking to do when I was racing, but I just tried my best to keep going and push through the pain because it was very, very painful. But I ended up starting out with, like, when I started, a few really good girls were lapping through for their second or third lap.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really lucky because I just kind of leached on behind them and drafted off of them, and then they kind of carried me up the hill. But that might have been a little... I went out a little fast because I definitely died. I got really tired, but based off my splits, it wasn't as bad as I thought I, like, had died. But I'm still super, super happy with how it played out and my results. And better than I had ever expected from going into this race.
Yeah, certainly 20th out of over 100 competitors, so
yeah.
Outstanding. And then for you, Sage, you scored points for Bates the second day as well. Obviously, you know, same course, but more laps. What do you see from that perspective?
It was a really, really hard race.
Yeah.
We all knew it was going to be a hard race. When it was supposed to be a 15K, that was like a slightly different mindset.
Mm.
Then it either ended up being 8.4, 9.1, somewhere in there.
Right.
I think we all on the team did a really good job of prepping. We knew it was going to be a 7-lap course no matter what it was, whether it was a 2.5K course or a 1.2K course. So we were all ready for a hard race. It was going to be a real grind, and that was exactly what it was. I wasn't super, super happy with getting 64th place, but it was a great effort, and the entire team, everyone was in really good spirits. Watching the women's race was really, really impressive. All the men finished our races. We were all feeling different ways about that.
Yeah.
Cabot actually had a really, really strong race. That was super impressive. I think he got 42nd place, maybe. And that was a really, really good showing. And obviously, I think he has a lot more to give throughout the season. It'll be really impressive to see what he can do. But watching the women's race, watching everyone come through, I remember I was watching Greta going, and we all saw her come through on, like, her third lap out of 7. We're like, oh, my gosh, she's going so hard.
Yeah.
This is really impressive, but, like, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep this up. And then every single lap going through, everyone was still pushing themselves super hard. And you could just tell it was a grind, but it was so, so impressive. So I think overall the team did really, really well. And especially mentally, everyone was having a great time. It was a really, really fun weekend.
Excellent. And Greta, I mean, being from Minnesota, how did Bates get on your, you know, radar for schools? What made you want to come here?
Yeah, so after my junior year of high school, skiing college kind of became a reality for me. It was something, I mean, I grew up skiing and it's always been in my life, but I never, like, was at the competitive level of, like racing at the level I am today. But that was mainly because I truly love to ski. And I was like, well, this is my true passion. I'm going to see if I can really, like, if I can bring this into the next step of my life. So then when I was looking at colleges, I really narrowed it down to places I could ski. So I basically reached out to a bunch of coaches and was like, introduced myself, told them about my races. And my initial meeting with James, I was already like, Bates is my number one. He just had a really good welcoming presence that drew me to Bates. And I really liked how like the program was set up and stuff like that. So then I came out here for a tour, and I never actually got to meet the team before coming here. I think they were at a camp or something, but I really liked the campus and the like what Bates had to offer. And so that's kind of how I narrowed it down. James then offered me a spot early decision, so I accepted it, and here I am. I'm really happy with my decision. I was a little bit nervous about the academic aspect of Bates because, I mean, that comes first before athletics here. And, I mean, I think that's super valuable because that can bring me to the next step of my life as well.
Awesome. And Sage, how about for you? You're obviously more East Coast Vermont. And so Bates, I'm sure you were familiar with it growing up, but how did it, you know, we decided to come here for school?
Yeah, I was definitely familiar with Bates being from Vermont. I had a kind of similar process to Greta where through high school, there were times when I wasn't really at a level that I thought I was going to be skiing in college. But eventually I realized that skiing was really my passion and it was what I wanted to be doing. And then when I was looking for schools, I decided I wanted to go to a school that had skiing, and I wanted to go to a school that had good academics, and I was pretty sure I wanted to stay out east. So I ended up looking at essentially all of the NESCACs, and I visited a bunch, and just coming to Bates, everyone felt super, super welcoming. I came here before I'd actually met with the coach, so I just saw the school first on its own, and I was a really, really big fan of the school. And once I met with James Upham, our coach, he was, like Greta said, just super welcoming, super friendly. It felt like from that first meeting, I knew that it would be a place where I would have friends. And yes, there'd be pressure to like pressure to perform well. But beyond that, it would just be a great family on the team. So once I got offered support here, it was a school I would want to go to whether or not I was skiing. And then I had an offer on the ski team. So it was just the perfect match.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, both of you being first years, what's the adjustment to college, you know, been like so far, Greta?
After my first semester, I went home and I was able to just let loose and just sleep and ski. but looking back on it, I wouldn't say it was a huge adjustment from high school, like academic wise. It was like way less intimidating as I thought it would be. But also that could just be I'm studying things that I actually want to study. but I've really liked it here. The skiing schedule is great. I'm a person that needs to be like have a schedule and have something for me to do at a certain time, like activity wise as well. So it's been nice to have the structure with the team and kind of a built-in friend group, and so that has made some of the freshmen like intimidations and like worries a little bit easier. The freshman first year situation has been going really good, and we have a big squad of first years on the team, and it's been really fun to just hang out with them and have people to relate to and go through the experience with. And
how about for you, Sage, the adjustment from, college from high school?
Yeah, for sure. Just jumping back, Greta reminded me of something from your last question, which is that another thing that I was really excited about coming to Bates was that I knew we were going to have such a big freshman group. Mm. It was really exciting coming into the team and having a bunch of other people in the same situation. Ski teams are small, so sometimes you're coming in and you might be the only freshman. And then you don't have anyone to really share that experience with. But coming in with five other guys and four girls, I think, on the freshman group, we were all able to really bond and go through everything together. And that was fantastic. The transition from high school, it's, like Greta said, it isn't really as bad as I was expecting. I think it's really scary leaving home and coming to college. College is just another level. But between the academics being manageable and the team and the coaches really kind of being able to adapt the schedule to fit your needs, nothing's been too hard.
Awesome. Yeah, well, this was our first carnival race of the year that Nordic and Alpine skiing teams combined for 6 out of 14, which was a very strong showing. Now you've got the looks like the St. Lawrence Carnival for Nordic is this Friday and Saturday in Lake Placid, New York. Are any of you familiar with this location?
Yeah. Last year, both me and Sage were at Lake Placid for Junior Nationals in the spring. To rate like the Nationals you have to qualify for. That's kind of what a junior is focused on. If they're not focused on high school skiing, that's the goal is to go to JNs. Mm. So that was my first time ever skiing out east, which may have not been the best introduction to East Coast skiing because the conditions were kind of brutal. It was, I think we went through every weather condition we could have gone through. It was snowy one day, like a bunch of fresh powder, like pure ice, slush. It was just like crazy. And to add on top of that, the Lake Placid course is very brutal. It's a lot of uphill and then a lot of technical downhill with some sketchy turns, and especially when it's icy. Yeah. So that was my first time racing out east and my first impression of Lake Placid. So going into this weekend, it'll be nice to know that I've been there before and know what to expect to some level. But I just have to remind myself to have fun and this is what I love to do.
Sage, what do you remember from that Junior Nationals experience?
Yeah, it was definitely something. Like Greta said, the conditions were wild. We got there and it was cold and snowy the first day, like super slow conditions. Then the next day people were shooting off the trail because there was so much ice everywhere. Mm. And then the final day we had a 15K. It was, I think, for both of us, our first ever 15K. I'd only ever done 10Ks before that. And Lake Placid is just a really, really unique place. As an introduction to East Coast skiing, that must have been a little brutal because Lake Placid might be the hardest course in the country.
Wow, okay.
It's at a completely different caliber, actually. This coming next winter, they're hosting World Cup finals. And that's the kind of race that only a certain type of venue can host, and Lake Placid is that venue. It has just insane hills. It's a beautifully designed course, but it's really brutal, especially as like a younger skier. I have memories from racing there for many, many years, and it's a really, really intimidating venue. They have this 5K course that we're going to be doing four laps of, okay. And it starts down in a really low stadium, and it just climbs up and up and up for about the first 3 kilometers, and then just these big windy downhills back down. I'm really, really looking forward to the race, but it's just a different kind of racing than I've ever done before. I've done one 15-kilometer race, and beyond that, it's only 10 kilometers that I've ever raced. Mm. So, yeah, it's going to be a big transition.
What about for you, Greta?
In Minnesota or in Wisconsin, the Birkebeiner and Coeur d'Alepet races are super popular and it draws people from everywhere. But I've done the Coeur d'Alepet the past 3 years, which is like, I don't remember the exact distance. I think it's around 26K, but that could be wrong. But me and my friend we don't race it. We probably take it like level 3, which is like a skiing term for like about 150 to like 160 heart rate levels.
Oh, okay.
So it's like you're working, but it's not like you're going as fast as you can. But I've had experience doing that, and we won the past 2 years and then did well the other year. But that's my experience with like longer. Mm. And I'm super excited for this weekend because it's a mass start.
Okay.
And I'll have people kind of to, like, pace off of, but I need to remind myself if, like, just to do my own thing as well. You can kind of get caught up in with the big group, and it can be mass chaos at some points. But I guess just taking it in, like, this is going to be my first 20K. Like, I don't know. There's so many firsts, and just, like, I just need to take it one step on at a time and not put any pressure on myself from this past weekend and bring it into the next weekend. I'm just going to have confidence and just try my best to have fun, even if it's, like, extremely brutal.
Yeah, that's great. And then, yeah, Sage, for you, for longer races, what's your approach to it?
We'll have to see.
We'll find out, right?
The thing with a mass start is that you're kind of at the mercy of everyone around you. It's really easy to get caught up in going too fast or get stuck behind a slower group. And Lake Placid is kind of notorious for having just some carnage at the start.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. You start off in this big field, and then you go under a bridge that just really narrows down the course super quickly into a little uphill turn. So it gets really tight. Last year at JN's, there was a picture where there's just a big pileup of skiers underneath the bridge. So I don't know. I don't have much of a plan yet, but I'm excited to see what happens.
Absolutely. Well, any other thoughts either of you want to share on the Bates Carnival that we haven't got to talk about yet?
I guess I would just add I'm really happy to, like, be on the Bates team. I think we have such a good time together, and we keep it, I think, a huge part of success in sports teams, and especially endurance sports like skiing and running and all in that genre of activity. It's just to keep it lighthearted and fun. Like, it's really, like, if you have a bad race, it's not going to affect you in the grand, like, big scheme of things, and just remind yourself to just have fun and keep it lighthearted, I'd say.
Great. Anything else you want to mention, Sage?
Yeah, I think the Bates Carnival really exemplified that. Like, keeping it fun is what's really important.
Yeah.
Going into the carnival, a lot of us were kind of nervous because Rumford didn't have a ton of snow.
Right.
And it was just, we didn't know what we were going to have out there. Like, we were supposed to have a 15K, and it turned into an 8.4K. We had no idea what was going to happen. There was thin coverage. There were some rocks, and there was all sorts of stuff going on. But it was really a reminder that when the community comes together and puts on a race, it's going to be fun no matter what. We had all the college teams coming there, and it was just a blast. Yeah.
Excellent. A very successful season opener for the Bates skiing teams, both Nordic and Alpine. Again, a combined sixth place out of 14 squads there at the Bates Carnival. And our Bobcats of the Week, Greta and Sage, thanks so much for joining the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
The Alpine skiing teams certainly did their part as well over the weekend. A pair of seniors led the Bobcats in the giant slalom on Friday, with senior Marat Washburn taking 20th on the men's side and classmate Jay Lee Hovey pacing the women in 28th place. Then on Saturday, in the slalom, sophomore Juliet Hoder finished 14th to lead the women, and senior captain Nick Hodermans was 25th to pace the men. It was a breakthrough performance for Hovey on Friday, and her 40th place finish on Saturday wasn't too shabby either. She joins the Bobcast to talk about her career so far as a Bobcat. Well, Jay Lee, as a senior, the last Bates Carnival for you, and what a way to start it there with a giant slalom, a top 30 performance. Just kind of take us through your training and what led you to have that breakthrough there last week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, home turf is always pretty awesome thing to have, and we really just, like, wanted to go into it with some confidence, you know, skiing well, feeling good on our skis, and the snow has been really sweet so far at practice, so it was good knowing that there was going to be some consistencies there. Really just wanted to feel strong, have fun with it, and make it down. It was a pretty long course, a little bit tough, but I just kind of stuck my foot in it and stuck with it, and it ended up okay, so.
Take us through the two runs. Any moments that really stand out to you?
Not particularly. I know I was starting to get a little bit nervous before my first run, and I know when the nerves get to me, things kind of go downhill. So I just took a second to kind of recenter and think about, you know, why I'm here. And that always helps me a little bit, and just go have fun with it. And I kind of felt that in the middle of the course. I was just having fun with it, and it turned out well. So
I thought just like looking at the results was pretty cool to see, you know, seniors like yourself and Marat Washburn have such breakthrough performances at the Bates Carnival. What did that mean to you to see, you know, yourself and, you know, and the seniors do so well?
Yeah, it's really exciting. I know Marat and I have always, we've been on the same page for a little bit in terms of like our skiing. We've kind of had our ups and downs in terms of our college careers, and seeing it come together is super exciting, especially like to see my teammates really like coming through too. I know it was exciting to have his parents there, my parents, and like have them see that exciting experience too. So it's special. Yeah.
Excellent. And like many of our alpine skiers, you're from Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Yeah.
But take us through what made kind of the Bates the place for you when you were looking at colleges a few years back.
I honestly wasn't sure what I wanted to do in terms of skiing after college. But luckily, I got in contact with Coach Samard, and it helped me kind of feel a sense of like competency, knowing that some of my other teammates were going. So that made it exciting, a little bit less scary, maybe. And, you know, I like a smaller school, a smaller community. I like when you kind of recognize all the faces when you walk across campus. And it just, it felt fitting, so.
Yeah, just looking at the roster, I mean, it looks like we have, what, like four people from Steamboat Springs?
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
right? Yeah, so what's that contingent like? Did you all know each other growing up?
Yeah, me and Sequoia went to the same high school.
Okay.
And then Kyle and Marat went to the other high school in Steamboat, but it's still a super small town, so we all knew each other. We all skied together.
Yeah.
Sequoia is a couple years older than me, and then Marat and Kyle are a year older than me. So it was kind of funny being different ages before, and then now we're all in the same grade. But, yeah.
So no gap year for you or anything? Or?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah. So what was it like, you know, making that adjustment coming straight from high school to Bates?
Yeah. It was definitely a big change in terms of environment. I didn't really want to take a gap year because I wanted to stay in school, and I hoped that the skiing would kind of come along without just taking a year purely to ski. Yeah, it was a good experience.
Double major, biology, psychology. How have you been able to balance that with the long trips to Sunday River and all that?
Yeah, I definitely got the hang of it, I would say, after freshman year.
Yeah.
Working with teachers to make the scheduling work, especially like missing some classes. You know, you figure out how to establish that relationship early on with them so that you can get away with missing a class or two. In terms of the workload, like, I genuinely like the classes that I take. I've tried to, you know, take classes that feel fitting and like things that I've wanted to put more energy into, as opposed to taking some class that works well for my schedule and then not really liking it. So it all kind of came together for me in that way. Yeah.
Now, are you one of the people who like to do work in the van or catch up on sleep in the van?
Oh.
What's your approach?
I'm a big sleeper.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm in a moving vehicle, I'm knocked out. So never homework.
What are those trips, you know, up to Sunday River like with the group and training and everything?
Yeah, it's, it's an hour and 10 drive,
yeah.
So we definitely have a lot of team bonding in there. it definitely varies between, like, chatty days, like, high-energy days, and, like, lots of music to, like, pretty mellow, a lot of sleepers, quiet van rides, so a little bit of everything in there.
Gotcha. And we've got the St. Lawrence Carnival this Thursday and Friday for alpine skiing. Whiteface Mountain, tell us about there. I assume you've been there before.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
It's a good mountain. It's a really fun course. It starts out semi-flat, kind of moderate, and then breaks over, but nothing out of the ordinary, nothing crazy difficult in terms of, like, the mountain itself. We'll see how the snow is. I've heard some good and some bad things, so I'm not sure about that, but it's a really fun mountain, fun hill. The weather looks good, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we had the captains on for a season preview, and they mentioned that, you know, with skiing, you learn, especially for alpine, you learn how to be very flexible in terms, because you deal with all sorts of different conditions, right, and cancellations. How have you approached things through the years?
Yeah, you know, you just have to learn to go with the flow.
Yeah.
If you don't go with the flow, you end up probably in the not in the best mental state. So, you know, taking everything with a grain of salt and, like, taking what you can, you know, when the days are good, and, like, take advantage of it. And when they're not good, it's definitely a character-building day. But that's just how it goes.
You touched on it earlier, you know, you've had your ups and downs, you know, with skiing at Bates. This, I believe, was your first top 30 finish, right?
Yeah.
So what does that mean to you to have this breakthrough now?
Yeah. It feels really good. I'm really happy that it all kind of came together. I've had, like, some injuries, some just mental struggles where I wasn't skiing. And, like, it really just enforced, like, kind of trusting the process and knowing that things will come around. because a big fear of mine was kind of getting into this year and things not going particularly well. And now that I'm really just having fun with it, it's gone the way that I hoped it would. So,
what was your teammates' reaction to it?
It was exciting. Everyone was pretty stoked for me. I know everyone's seen me like in my poorer mental states and like when things aren't going particularly well. They've seen more of that side of me than like the good results side. So like them seeing it come around for me too was, I think, just as exciting for them as it was for me.
Great. What are your thoughts you want to share about the Bates Carnival over the weekend and how it went from a team perspective?
It's just such a special thing to have. I mean, we only have it every 2 years. And so, like, having all the parents there, having everyone on the team there, including, like, you know, we have four runners and people who aren't skiing the race, but everyone's still up there. And having friends up there is just, like, so special to see people doing what you love to do. And I would just say, like, the vibes are always pretty immaculate. It's just, yeah, it's fun to be around everyone. Home turf always feels good, and it was good.
Excellent. Jaylee Hovey, senior for women's alpine skiing, 28th place, top 30 showing in the giant slalom, and also pretty strong showing in the slalom. Everyone did pretty well the next day as well. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
The track and field teams had their first meet of 2025 last Saturday at the track at New Balance in Boston. While both the men's and women's teams turned in a number of impressive performances at the non-scoring Suffolk Relays, sophomore Alana Ardrey really stood out for the women's squad. Ardrey wasted no time, moving into ninth on the Bates all-time performance list in the indoor triple jump as she recorded a mark of more than 35 feet on her first attempt of the day. That distance ended up being good for fourth place at the meet and was also a huge personal record, as she had never even reached 34 feet in her previous attempts at Bates. Ardrey also set a personal record in the high jump, as she cleared the bar at 5 feet, 2.25 inches. Good for eighth place. First of all, let's talk about the triple jump. Moving on to the, you know, Bates top 10 list with your performance, over 35 feet. What really clicked for you there this weekend?
First of all, thank you. I'm really excited. Honestly, it was just, I'm always so busy with the jumps. They happen at the same time every time. So just the first one, I think I was fresh enough and I had just been high jumping. So I was already warm and it just kind of, I just ran through and looked back. I was like, oh my gosh, what is 10.67, huh? But no, I'm really excited.
Excellent. Well, I mean, the triple jump is such an interesting event to me. How do you first kind of learn it? Because it's so much different than I feel like the other jumping events.
Yeah, I actually didn't do triple jump in high school. I started at Bates, and I knew nothing about it. All I knew is that I really hurt all the time. It's a lot of impact, and as a jumper who does all three jumps, it's a constant sort of, like, bam, 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 bam. But the triple jump, it's very technical. I would say a little less technical than high jump, but it's really, like, Coach Art does a great job of explaining how everything is when you do trampoline sessions. It's great.
Excellent. Then you mentioned the high jump, also a PR for you. You got eighth there, over 5 feet on the high jump. What are your thoughts on how that went?
I haven't PR'd in so long. it's a PR by a centimeter, but a PR is a PR. It was great to just get the qualifiers out of the way and to just be like, have a good week going into the home meet. I'm really excited for that. And I mean, high jump, you have good days and bad days, and that just happened to be a good day for me.
I know you didn't do the long jump this past weekend, but you have been competing in it. So what's the training balance like? And long jump, triple jump, you have to remember which one you're kind of doing, right?
Right. It's funny you say that, because yesterday during practice, we're doing triple jump practice, and I just long jumped into that. I was like, whoa, I almost landed on the ground. So it is difficult to kind of remember what's going on. And there are some times when I am doing all three in a competition. And, you know, you just got to take it and try to get three attempts. It's okay if one goes wrong. So.
And you get how many attempts for a triple you get?
You get three for all of them.
For all of them, okay.
Unless you make finals for the horizontals, then you get to do another three.
Gotcha. Excellent. Well, I mean, you're a sophomore, but take us through growing up in New York City. How'd you first get into track and field kind of in general?
So I actually started track my junior year of high school.
Okay.
And before that I did volleyball. I did all the sports. And my volleyball coach was my track, the high school track coach. And she just forced me to do it. Because I was a middle, so I would jump really high. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, like, yeah, you should totally join. And it just really worked out. I've made so many friends. And it again, I met Coach Johnson and Coach Art late into the recruiting process. And we just really clicked. And I'm so happy that I was able to continue doing it in college.
Yeah, what made Bates a place for you in the end?
First and foremost, the people. Mm-hmm. Not just the people on the team, but the people that I met on my visits. They were so enthusiastic. I just loved the energy and how there was a clear plan of what we were going to do. It's like, because I didn't have much to show. I had one season. And it was sort of half and half COVID. So
Right.
I was like, please take me. And I'm so happy it worked out.
Excellent. Well, you mentioned you were playing other sports. What else besides volleyball?
I did volleyball. I did lacrosse. I was on the swim team, badminton, just everything random. I was never really a soccer girl, unfortunately. Mm. But
so of all these sports, what ended up making track kind of your favorite, even though you were kind of late arriving?
Sometimes I miss being on a team collaboration sport, mm-hmm. but I think there's something really special about each individual person. It's up to the individual to make that specific day up to them. It's like, yes, you're doing it for your team, but you're also doing it for yourself. And everyone can have a good day for someone else, might not be as good for the other person, but it's you're in it together as a team. So I like that it's not as much pressure, but there is still that collaborative aspect.
Terrific. And you do have some experience in a collaborative type event, the 4x1 relay. I saw you competed at it. NESCACs last year got eighth, scored points for the Bobcats. Take us through what you remember from that event, because I feel like you'd been only really doing, you did one relay back in the indoor last year.
Yes.
This was your second relay ever. Tell us about that experience.
It's really fun. We're actually we're running that same relay team back this weekend.
Oh, nice.
And I'm really excited. I love the 4x2 specifically because it's really, the 4x1 is really, really technical. You have to be in communication with your teammates. But the 4x2, it's like you're just cheering each other on. It's a group effort that you just – it's just so fun. It's like a shorter 4x4.
Had you ever run a relay in high school or anything?
I did the 4x2 in high school.
Okay.
Yeah. But then again, that's also – high school. I mean, being in New York City, I was at the Armory track, and that is just a whole different experience. Mm. It's always packed. It's very stressful.
I was curious, coming from, New York, the biggest city in the entire country now to, losing a solid-sized city, but it's obviously not New York. What's been the transition like for you, sort of?
I've actually really liked it. Yeah. It was part of why I really liked Bates in the first place, mm-hmm. was it's a change of pace from the New York City. I miss it sometimes, but I find myself thinking, I want to go home, and I'm thinking of Bates instead.
Excellent. Then I guess, you being a sophomore, what are some things you learned last year as a first year about collegiate track that you're kind of applying, this year, now having a year under your belt, right?
Yeah, it makes all the difference. My last year, it went totally fine, but I definitely learned a lot from the experiences. I learned to not be so hard on myself, both in training and mentally, but especially in the training. I was all the way worked, burnt to the ground basically by the end of the season. But that was my own fault. And just having that independence in collegiate track and field and versus being in high school was something that was new, but I love it now. It's I know myself better, and I know how to perform better as a result. It's awesome.
It sounds like you mostly work with Coach Art.
Yes. So Coach Art is the jump specialist.
Yeah.
And then, Coach Johnson's the head coach. Yeah. So we all share custody of each other. But
So what's it like working with Coach Art? What does he bring to the table? A lot of experience.
Obviously. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. I absolutely adore him. He just his whole thing is making it fun. We all just are we happy? Then it's been a good day. and I just really appreciate that, especially in something so mentally challenging as jumps, because it's not it relies on so much technique that, yeah, you can be the strongest, you can be the fastest, but if you're not happy or enjoying what you're doing, you're not going to clear that bar. You're not going to jump far. So it's having him there is as a support, whether he's all the way in the corner or right there with me, it's always really helpful.
So you do all the jumps. If you had to choose one, what's your favorite?
Ooh, I'd probably say high jump.
High jump. Okay, why high jump?
It's the jump that I started mm-hmm. out with. I definitely say long jump's the easiest per se, but high jump, it just, I was a dancer for about 12, 15 years, somewhere in between that. I don't know when you can start counting. and it's so similar to ballet. Mm. And I find that that really translated well. And so it's still, it's so technically focused that you don't even have to, it's meant to be so easy that and graceful. And so I like thinking about it that way.
Interesting. Yeah. For someone who did not participate in ballet or the high jump, could you break it down how the high jump is similar to ballet?
Yeah. A lot of it is, it's very floaty. It's very bouncy, obviously. But even in the run-up, like long jump and triple jump, like you want to be fast as you possibly can. High jump, you still want to be fast, but most of the time if you're running at full speed, you're not going to have the control to actually translate that into upward motion. And it's all about being tall and being flexible. And you even, I mean, Coach, I might kill me for saying this, but you might have to point your toes a little bit. there's a lot of basic like turnout and like pointing and again the back arch, which I'm still not great at, but it's definitely something that you have to think of and putting it all together. It's like a kind of like a dance move. Like you have to know how to flop over.
Excellent. I know I've spoken to a lot of, you know, track and field athletes at Bates, and the sport is not necessarily linear, right? You're not going to set a PR every single week.
Yeah.
but what are some goals you have kind of, you know, moving forward this year, headed into, you know, hopefully, you know, New England's and an outdoor season as well, right?
Yeah. No, I'm really excited. I've had some really good practices, and I'm just looking forward to hopefully getting some official marks down. I think this is like this past weekend was definitely a confidence booster. I wasn't sure I could have achieved that before, especially like, oh my gosh, it was just so out of nowhere. So I'm really excited for the following weeks to come, and especially in high jump, like I'm really excited. I hope I'm hoping for another PR, and I think it's totally possible. So I'm excited.
Well, I wanted to mention that we are hosting the Bates Invitational this weekend. how fun is it to, because you did this last year, obviously. How fun is it to, you know, have a home meet like this?
It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
this time last year, that was my best meet ever, I think. It was so fun. It was so just relaxing. And just being on your home turf, it's just, like, you have all your friends watching. It's like, and I practice at that pit every day.
Yeah.
Like, you have such an advantage. It's awesome.
Yeah, last year you won the high jump, you won the 4x2 relay, and you were second in the triple jump. quite the meet early on in your collegiate career. What are some memories of that a year ago?
Oh, it was so fun. Yeah. It was just like a great jump day. I was really busy, so it was fun to jump from. I didn't even finish high jump. I was mid jump, had to run over, do the 4x2, come back to high jump, and then go straight to triple jump. So this year, coach is kind enough to change around the schedule. Mm. But
all three events again, though?
All three events. Well, I'm doing long instead of triple.
Long instead of triple. Okay.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Got the triple out of the way.
Yeah. Because that was a New England qualifier, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really happy to be just focus on preparation for that instead of getting that mark. It's all about getting there.
Now, what about the high jump? Are you qualified for New England's yet there? Or
that was also last week I qualified.
So both?
Yeah.
Oh, nicely done. There you go. So you're set for that meet at least, right?
So excited. Maybe I'll keep it at just those two so I'm not too busy.
Excellent. Any other thoughts you wanted to mention on, you know, the first meet of 2025? I know you had that meet in December, but any other thoughts you want to mention about the meet? Maybe watching some of your teammates, how they did, anything you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about yet?
I mean, yeah, it was really great to have the whole team there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the meet in December was also fun, but like we had, I think it was something close to 4 or 5 high jumpers, and usually I'm the only one. So it was great to have the extra help and the extra set of eyes and to also be there with my teammates. I also had 2 of my teammates triple jumping with me. And like it was so fun to just be on the infield and watch like the distance crew doing their laps. And I'm like, yay, like go team, go Bates. It was so fun.
Excellent. Alana, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it. And we're looking forward to the Bates Invitational Multi this Friday and Saturday at Merrill Gym. Thanks again.
Thank you.
The swimming and diving teams hosted Middlebury for a dual meet Sunday at Tarbell Pool. The men's team emerged victorious over the Panthers by a considerable margin, and junior Max Corey was part of 4 first-place finishes, helping Bates win the 200-yard medley relay and the 200-yard freestyle relay. He also took first individually in the 50-yard freestyle and the 100-yard freestyle. Corey just returned from abroad and has not missed a beat. Well, Max, as a junior who studied abroad this fall, you had quite the, you know, challenge coming back. I know it's often a challenge for some of our sports that kind of split up the season. So how were you able to come back, you know, from abroad so strong right away for Bates?
I did a good bit of training while I was abroad. I sort of prioritized having fun and getting that out of the way for the first couple months. But as I came closer to December and I knew I was coming back to the team, I tried getting in the water like 3 times a week. I trained with a really cool club team with some really, really fast people. And so that helped me out a bunch. And I tried staying in the gym the whole time I was abroad. And I had a bit of an advantage because over the summer I was training up until like June. So I wasn't 100% on it, but I knew I had to do enough to do decent at the start of the season, which is what I wanted. So I stayed in the water as much as I could.
Great. Well, tell us about your abroad experience in general. Where'd you go? What do you end up doing?
So I was in Stockholm at the Stockholm School of Economics. That was kind of like my free semester. I had done a bunch of the stuff I needed for my major and minor, and so I'm in a pretty good spot. So I just took a bunch of easy classes. I did the classic Bates abroad experience, like had a ton of fun, met a bunch of new people, a bunch of Swedish people. I don't know if you know her, but Sarah Hustrom, the Swedish Olympian, she's like one of the greatest swimmers of all time. I raced her a couple times, which is pretty funny, and she whooped me. Totally whooped me. So it reminded me who I am, where I am, and the place of swimming. It was pretty awesome. I had a really, really good time in Stockholm.
Wow, how'd you set that up, racing one of the great swimmers of ever?
Well, Coach Emma, our assistant coach, she got me in contact with a coach in Sweden at one of the biggest clubs in Stockholm. So I was training with them, and they train at the same pool as the Swedish national team. So every now and then we would do, like, relays with the clubs, and I would always say, like, you know, put me on the anchor. I want to race her. And, you know, it went as you would expect.
So that was that, like 50 free kind of?
Yeah. Usually 50 free, 50 fly.
Nice. Well, speaking of that, obviously this past weekend, the Bobcats took on Middlebury there. You were in 4 races, won them all. So take us through that meet and how it went from your perspective.
I was pretty nervous. It was my second real meet back with the team. And I knew I wanted to go faster than I did at Dartmouth. So I was sweating. I was nervous. First relay went in, and as soon as that one was finished, I went 19.95, I think, and I was super, super happy with that. And then the jitters kind of went away, and I was just having a bunch of fun. We started off really strong against Middlebury. I don't think we lost. We didn't lose an event up until, like, the very end. I think the 2 breasts and the 5 free were the only ones we lost. And so the whole time, I was just having a blast. Time of my life. Everyone was swimming super well. A bunch of super entertaining races, like Matt's Mile and Jaewoo's 4IM come to mind. They were just super, super fun. The whole crowd was going crazy. And so it kind of took care of my nerves just with how well everyone else was doing and how fun the meet was. So it was a great time.
Terrific. And I think on Saturday you guys did an alumni meet. Tell us about that experience.
The alumni meet was a bunch of fun. It was just a lot of alumni that I didn't know from years and years back who I got to know better. And a bunch of alumni that I did from my freshman and sophomore years came back. They got in the pool. Nathan Berry, I'm sure you've talked to him a bunch. He got in the pool, threw down some really fast swims. A bunch of the women alumni came back and swam really, really well, which is super cool to see. I didn't do much swimming because you know, I was saving up for Middlebury. I really wanted to perform, so I kind of stayed out of the water. But, you know, even more of a spectator role was a bunch of fun.
Awesome. And then you guys will be competing against Tufts, not this Friday, but a week from Friday. So what's going to be the training like in advance of, you know, a pretty stiff competition? I know you have some good battles with some of those Tufts swimmers, right?
Yeah. So last year, Tufts was super fun, but it was, you know, it really showed us how to face adversity, right? They're a tough, tough team. They're definitely top two in the NESCAC. So we're going to really be taking a lot of tough training throughout the week, but I'm sure on the weekends we're going to do a lot of race prep, make sure we're in the right mind, make sure we're able to really throw down against some really tough opponents.
Now, obviously, the past 2 years you've gotten the chance to compete at the NCAA championships, earning 3 All-America honors both times. Obviously, that's a little bit further in, you know, I'm sure you're looking at it kind of. What are your thoughts on, you know, what you have to do between now and, you know, NESCACs? And then, obviously, at NESCACs is a big moment, right, in terms of times and everything. But what are your thoughts on, you know, your junior year and long-term goals, I guess, right?
Long-term goals, there's only one thing on my mind right now, and that's winning a relay at NESCACs.
Okay, yep.
We haven't done that quite yet, and this year I don't think we're going to win one. I think we're going to win two. I think we're going to do so, so good this year. I've been talking about it ever since I've been back. We've got some really, really good swimmers this year. Nate Oppenheim is doing great. Yep. John Weigel is blowing my mind with how he's swimming recently, so I know he's going to be there ready to throw down. Guys like Tim Johnson, he's going so crazy too. He's going like right on his PBs in the 100 back at dual meets in a Speedo. So I don't think the NESCAC is ready for us. Man, we are going to kill at NESCAC. I'm really excited.
I love it. Well, Weigel was talking last week about how like he's also trying out the backstroke and stuff like that. What's it like to see some of your teammates do some different events?
Well, I mean, coming from a guy that can only do like I can only do one thing.
You're a 25 free guy, you know, right?
Sprint freestyle. it's incredible to see. I mean, John Weigel just does anything below a 200 and kills it. Any stroke, any time, anywhere, any place he's throwing down. He could probably even do the 4 AM 500. Mm. Same with Nate Oppenheim. I mean, kid's crazy. He's doing anything under the sun, and killing it. And it's just really great to see such great talent at Bates, because those guys are like the real deal. Like, they are doing anything in the pool and making it work. It's really exciting to watch.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've had some great relay teams through the years here at Bates, but I do feel like, considering Oppenheim being such an impact first year, considering the experience these guys got last season, some of these sophomores, and yourself as well, as a junior, I mean, this seems like, you just mentioned it might be the best group yet, right?
Oh, it's not even going to be close. Yeah. I mean, these school records are going to get obliterated. I'm telling you, watch out for this 2-3 relay.
Yeah.
Whew. Ooh, I'm excited. It gets me sweating just thinking about it, how good we're going to do.
Excellent. And then I know we got some good photos of you celebrating some victories there against Middlebury. Your little coordination. Tell us a little bit about, you knew our photographer was going to be there, right?
Well, I saw him on the deck, yeah, and I came up to him like, hey, are you from Middlebury or Bates? And he told me Bates, and I'm like, all right, let's do something fun here. Because, you know, I knew I was going to swim pretty well. I knew I wanted to win, and I knew I wanted some photos.
Yeah.
So I told him, you know, watch for me, lane 5. I'm going to go nuts no matter what happens. Stuck to the plan, and it worked out good.
Yeah, we got some great photos of Max Corey celebrating his victories there against Middlebury at GoBatesBobcats.com. You guys can check it out there, certainly. Well, Max, I guess just your thoughts on, you know, the first couple of meets of the year for you. I mean, I know you won an event against Dartmouth as well, but how they've gone anything else you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about, I guess.
Other than, you know, our future relay success, I think just as a team, I think this is the strongest team we've had this year. We were closer than ever against Dartmouth. I think we had a lot more points than we did last year. I can't remember the figure. With Middlebury, we had almost 20 points more than we did last year. So we crushed them. And that was without some key pieces as well. And so I think come NESCACs, I'm thinking top three. I'm thinking top one. Thinking top whatever. I'm thinking Bates is going to really kill it this year.
Excellent. Big hopes for the men's swimming and diving team. They're taking on Tufts at Tarbell Pool Friday, January 24th, 5:30 p.m. They got a few more home meets after that on the 31st with Maine Maritime University New England at 6 o'clock. And then they will be on the road, actually, for their CBB meet, but just down the road there in Brunswick on the 8th. That's of February at 1 o'clock. And then, of course, the NESCAC Men's Swimming and Diving Championships February 20th through 23rd. Those will be out in Middlebury. Big hopes for the men's swimming and diving team, off to a great start this year. And Max Corey, as usual, dominating in the freestyle sprints. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Well, both basketball teams fell to Amherst and Hamilton over the weekend. The Bobcats get key chances to bounce back this week. Women's basketball hosts Bowdoin Friday at 7 p.m., while the men travel to Brunswick to take on the Polar Bears at the same time. Then the men's team hosts Colby Saturday at 5 o'clock, while the women are at Colby Sunday at 1. Stick with GoBatesBobcats.com for all the latest Bates Athletics news, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.